All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of The Sportsman. We are back. We missed last week, but we are here. We got Mikey V, we've got Joey D, and we've been beaten, we've been battered. We wanted to make it last week. We certainly tried every day. We were texting every day to try and make it work, and we just couldn't. But we're doing it this week. We got to hurt Joey D. He is sick as a dog. How you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there. But I'm happy to be back. We missed we don't miss episodes very often now, thankfully to Mr. Anderson. But it was a tough turnaround with Scotland. And then I literally got back at 9 o'clock, almost 8 o'clock at night. The next morning, I was up at 4 o'clock to go for another golf tournament. And, I've been through it. But, to miss the Sportsman and the Brilliantly Dumb the same week, the Brilliant Dumb show, that's tough. You know, we don't ever want to let anybody down. But, it's been a tough week. There's been a lot going on. That being said, we're here. I'm ready. And it's good to see you, gentlemen. I haven't seen Mikey V in a while, I feel like.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And you guys were gone. I was saying a ticket before we started recording. That trip, that Scotland trip was just too many days, bro. That's just too many days abroad. And especially, it's not like you're really relaxing the whole time. You know, you guys are busy pretty much the whole time. I mean, that's a lot. But I will say, Brilliantly Dumb show next week. We'll have the fantasy draft for everybody on the Zoom call.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
and
we are.
We'll have the pod in addition. So that's two things. And then we'll have another Sportsman next week. NFL starts next week. So this is ramp up time right now. This is our time.
It's an exciting time to be alive.
It is. It sure is.
Sure. Tell you what, man.
Can't tell by my face, but I'm excited.
I tell you what was exciting, man.
Joey D's in central booking right now. He's in central booking.
Was hopping on my Instagram and following the stories along at that Aloha Open. That was something special, man. Joey D, you did some good coverage of that thing. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like people, I think, initially used to think it was like a 30-man tournament. We used to do just three of us, and now we added a fourth. And, for us, it's just something that we do with, my buddies from high school that I grew up with. We pick a destination every year. It's just like a good time for these guys. They got families, kids, wives, to kind of get away for a few days, go to a nice area, play some golf, just hang out with the boys. Unfortunately, I wasn't 100%, but you know what? We had a blast, and people seem to like to follow along and stuff. So the courses, the place we were playing was unbelievable. I need you to take over here now, Dick.
Are we gonna blame the flu or whatever you have, Joe, on not defending the Aloha title? I'm just want to get that.
I didn't blame anything. I was there. Good. I gave it my best. So you know what? It came down. It was actually
came down to the last hole.
Came down to the last hole, and I shanked one on a par three, about 140 yards, and I shanked it into the ravine. And I just looked over, and I knew the tournament was over. I was so devastated, and I had nothing left. They had no carts at Chambers Bay, so I was hauling up a fucking, one of those little pull carts up the side of the mountain. I was defeated. It was tough, but great time, great tournament. Mikey, I think now that you're getting into golf, you should go and plan something like this with Dickie Gass and Fubu Lou and the boys. Take a weekend every year and plan, a few days. You get away from the kids, you get away from all the responsibilities, and you can just have fun and get a few rounds of golf in.
Yeah. I mean, I got a ways to go before before it's worth for me to do that. I played on Monday. I hit one shot, man, with the 56, and I stuck it right at the pin from 7,500 out. Wow, and I was like, special. Holy shit. But the rest of it was just so brutal. Now I did putt because I was playing. So we played at a country club. So I actually had a caddy, and the caddy was,
I played that course before.
Yeah, Essex County. It's a beautiful course.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a very nice course. One of the nicest courses in Jersey. It was for a fundraiser. And the caddy was like, yo, listen. He's like, these last couple two putts that you had, he's like, I'm not going to bullshit you. He goes, there'd be people that play this game very, very well. And they would take what you just did every day. So the putting, again, it's not putting. The wedges have been decent. But just getting off the tee box is just an absolute night. I'm ready. To almost, maybe my driver is just, maybe it's the driver. Maybe it's just my driver and I have to go, but it's most likely me. It's most likely me.
So Mike, you had a caddy. I want to know about your experience with a caddy, because I've had one caddy one time, and it was pretty fucking
so upset.
It was miserable. This guy was just taking shots at me the entire time because I was so terrible. Oh, this guy
couldn't have been nicer. And we had a foursome. Damn. Like, none of these guys play golf that I played with. One guy didn't even have clubs. Again, this was a fundraiser for something else, work related. And you know, two of the guys that had clubs, they don't ever play. The other guy, one of them actually hit. He was hitting some shots. I couldn't believe it because he never plays, but he was hitting shots pretty well. One guy, like I said, didn't even have clubs. This guy is, the caddy's name was Tommy. He was probably 30 something years old. One of the other caddies there recognized me from you know,
wow,
the Bob Does Sports Stuff and the Brilliantly Dumb Show, and you know, asked for a picture. It was real nice. Our caddy could not have been nicer, Tick. This kid, wow, Tommy, he could not have been nicer.
Good.
This poor fucking kid was chasing balls into the fucking woods. He was hopping over fucking fescue. He was diving over. He was going into pot bunkers, raking money. He was working, bro, and he had gotten tipped. So for a fundraiser like this, they had tipped him before, but obviously we tipped him again. He couldn't have been better. It was a great experience. He was giving tips. He was, you know, helping everybody with their swing, and everyone was listening to him. He's been playing since he's 12 years old, so at least that's what he said. And, you know, he was taking some shots, you know, because we were playing best ball. Yeah. So, like, if everyone was having a problem off the tee box, he would, you know, whack one off the tee box. We'd play his ball. He couldn't have been better. It was a great experience. And typically, I was very, very iffy about it to start. I was like,
no. Typically speaking, if you're a new golfer and you preface before the round that you're new and that you're not a really, like, avid golfer, they should have patience. Now, ticket story, he played Bel Air Country Club, which is arguably the nicest course in all of LA. Like, people aren't just getting on here. You know,
it's very
what I mean?
Snooty, it's, though, right?
100%. It's not right. Like, it's not like you're going to your average spot, you know. And so, like, a lot of the guys who are playing there either have more money than God, or they're actually good golfers who are getting invited to go play. Right. So I think that needs to be indicated. That being said, ticket did get fucked, and I went to the same course, and I
you
had
got
a caddy
too.
No, so I had a caddy. It wasn't my caddy, but a caddy for one of the other guys was taking shots at me the first time I went to play that course with Bob, and I fucking clapped back. I went off on this guy, and I to the point
so
where
What was he saying? He was criticizing your play?
Well, there was
or...
one, yeah, there was like, he kept making these little jab remarks. Listen, I'm not a great golfer, but he kept making these remarks like, oh, I made a chip. It looked like it was going to go down. It was going to be good. He's like, oh, that's gone. And I'm like meaning it was going to run off the green.
Yeah,
and
it rolled
to within like, maybe like, I don't know, not like 2 feet, but it was like within 8 to 10 feet. It was a pretty good shot. And I'm like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he kept saying these little stupid things. And then finally there was a hole where I hooked one like way to the right. And so naturally I wanted to see where the ball was going. So I started walking left off the tee box just to see if I could see it. And he goes, oh, don't even bother. That's gone. You ain't finding that. And I looked at him and I'm like, who the fuck do you, like, I didn't actually think about the fact that Bob and I were being invited there by two guests, like two members. And like, we were their guests. I just snapped.
That's
and
why I didn't say anything to my guy, is because I was invited. But Joe, well, just
know, your guy, your guy was busting your balls then too, Tick.
He was crushing me, Mikey. He was crushing me. Mikey, I walk up on the very first tee box. I walk up on the first tee box, Mikey. Listen to this. I walk up on the first tee box and I go, I just want to let you know I'm not a very good golfer. I'm just here to have some fun with my friend. And I was invited out here and just looking to have a good time and don't feel like you need to chase my balls. If it's out, we'll just keep it moving. And he goes, all right, well, I mean, if I couldn't swim, I wouldn't jump into the deep end of a pool. And that's how my day started, Mike. That's how my day started. And it just got worse. I just kept going downhill. It was brutal. It was really, I'll never go back, to be honest, unless here's I'm invited by Jason Baker.
Here's the thing I've noticed about golf is like, how do I say this without pissing people off the wrong way? Monday was, first of all, the weather was perfect. It was not sunny. It was a little overcast. It didn't rain, but it wasn't humid. It was like perfect golf weather because it wasn't that overwhelming. You know, when the sun's beating on you and it's like, it's just miserable. It was perfect weather. The course, like Joe said, is gorgeous. It was ideal. Perfect. Great. Do I wish I played better? Of course I do. Do I wish I was better in general? Of course I do. Do I realize that it's the most difficult sport? Of course I do. But there, golf allows people who have played for a very, very long time, if they were lucky enough to play since they were a kid, for whatever reason, their parents, you know, were golfers, or they just got into it young for whatever reason, it allows them a lot of latitude to feel like they are better than others.
Almost entitled.
Entitled in many ways. And that really should not be, because the fact of the matter is, like, I'm sure that, you know, Tickett is better than that guy who broke his balls at a lot of other things.
Yeah.
But it's like golf is like this. It's like on this pedestal. But I think it is getting better. Like, I think it's becoming, obviously, it's very mainstream right now. It's probably the hottest thing, you know, going right now in terms of especially the space that we operate in. But just that sense of entitlement, that just stinks.
I agree with you to an extent. I think that I think it's getting better all the time. And the entryway to getting into golf has expanded massively. But I do agree that it's almost like a deterrence for a lot of people who are not good at golf or who do not play, because they don't want to go and like disrupt another person's round. They don't want to be of inconvenience. And they're also like someone like Tickett, you know, with the golf game, actually Tickett can strike the ball, but self-confidence is like, you know, you hit a couple bad shots, it's wavering, you know? So a lot of people, I think, and I've actually posted a story on my Instagram today after, you know, cause I had been playing really well. I put up the scores and I don't ever try to elude that I'm a good golfer or whatever, but I was playing good and I had people clapping back. There's no way you shot a 75. This is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. So I posted my score on my last round. I shot a 92. I played horrible. Yeah. And I just said, listen,
but a lot of guys can't shoot a 92 though.
And I
can't even sniff a 92.
But what I said, Mikey, is I said, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what you shoot, because if you love the game and if you enjoy it, it's for everybody, regardless what you shoot, you should be able to enjoy this game that we love. And, but I think that's a good way to wrap it
and
up.
And that's the one thing I'll say too, is like one thing you will get with me on the golf course is like, I could be horrible. I could be fucking duffing every shot, sculling every iron, not getting off the tee box. Rate of play will never be an issue with me, because I'm I'm a dog on the course. I will chase the ball. I don't care if I'm in a cart. I'll jump out of the cart. I'll hit fast. I'll play very fast. I do have respect for that aspect of the game where you're not trying. That's the last thing I want to do, is hold up a group that's really proficient and you know, a decent foursome that's behind me. So that is one of the elements of the game that I do respect to the utmost degree. But it's guys like that make comments like that to like you or to Tickett. And it's like, man, like, let's get off the golf course. Let's try our hand at anything else. And let's see if you're going to talk that kind of shit, which they're not. That's why, like, no. I'm perfectly comfortable and I'm by far the worst golfer there is, by far. And I still would be comfortable to play with anybody anywhere, because I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'd be comfortable with it. But people like that, you gotta ease up.
The funny thing is after I went off on him, he was like almost embarrassed. Like he was, I called him out.
That's usually what happens with guys.
And so then from that point on, he could not have been nicer, to the point where Bob and I were getting hammered on the course. We couldn't drive Bob's car home. So we were going to get an Uber. He drove us to our restaurant. And then we were going to pay him for the Uber fee. And he's like, don't worry about it, I got it. And I've seen him multiple times now and he could not be nicer to me. That's but sometimes true. You just got to put some of these guys in their fucking place, man.
I don't even know if it's about putting him in his place so much. It is just like, you're not going to talk to me like I'm some like little kid. Yeah. That's not going to happen. And then usually guys who do that though, Joe, that's what happens. When you say something back to them, they shrink up like a little mouse.
Very
and
true.
They become the mouse that they were.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a tough time saying something to people when I've been invited somewhere, when I am a part of, like, I'm kind of a representative for someone, like they vouched for me to be there. But that being said, specifically with these caddies, I think in the golf game, a lot of these guys are sticks. They're really good players. And they take the caddy position to stay close to the game. So I think when they see people like me come in or someone else who isn't good, especially at these high end country clubs, they think that they should be me or they should be that guy. Like I shouldn't have a place on this course. It should be them playing. And I think that's where a lot of the dickheads come from. But yeah, we can wrap it up with that. I mean, it's just tough. If you're a caddy out there, just don't be a dickhead. We're all just trying to keep it moving and have fun. Yep. All right. So let's jump into some sports here, gentlemen. College football's back. No one's happier than Mikey V. Now that it is back, week zero just happened. Notre Dame fucking pummeled Navy. It wasn't even fun to watch. Let's talk about some of the games that transpired. And then let's talk about some of our favorites for the season, boys. Let's talk about who's making the playoffs. Mikey V, start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, your two games that you probably want to talk about are the Notre Dame game and the USC game. USC did exactly what you thought they would offensively. Defensively, I still think they got a lot of questions they have to answer. San Jose State scored, what, 28 points on them? Some people say that's not a lot of points. It is a lot of points. San Jose State's a decent program. The quarterback is very good. He's a versatile guy. He could run. He could throw. But even still, like, USC, if they're going to make a run at the national championship, cannot play defense like that against the Clemsons of the world, the Alabamas of the world, the Georgias of the world, the Michigans of the world. They can't do that. Flip side, Notre Dame. And by the way, Caleb Williams probably – I mean, there's a couple other guys that I'm looking at for Heisman, but Caleb Williams has probably the realest chance to repeat as a Heisman Trophy winner as anybody, because the Pac-12 number one is very weak. I don't see anybody beating them. And number two, I think he is that good. So he's got a very good chance. Flip side, Notre Dame. I was saying weeks ago when we were just hinting at college football, and we only had a whiff of college football in the air, it wasn't even here yet, that a big concern of mine for Ohio State was going to Notre Dame and playing this Notre Dame team at night in Notre Dame. And Notre Dame came out against Navy, who returned eight guys on defense. There were eight starters back on that defense. Granted, Navy, new head coach, first time in forever that head coach was replaced. But Notre Dame curb stomped them. Curb stomped them to the point where Notre Dame, when they had the ball, could not be stopped. Like, there was no turning Notre Dame over. And for a program like Navy, who, you know, those kids are trying their absolute hardest, there is not a question that the Navy team is like laying down or not. For them to curb stomp Navy the way they did, that was a statement game. They are a very scary team, Notre Dame. They have the run game. They finally have the quarterback who could open the game up for them offensively, which is not typical of Notre Dame, and they have a defense. And for their defense not to allow a single touchdown, and I know it's Navy, but first game of the year having to defend that triple option offense, which is a very big pain in the ass to defend. A lot of teams, no matter how good they are, you see them get tripped up. Georgia Tech, when Georgia Tech plays people, Navy plays people, Army plays people. Teams with good defenses, sometimes they can't get used to defending that yet. It takes them like half a game to get used to defending it. So they're going to give up, you know, a couple touchdowns maybe. Notre Dame gave up three fucking points. They are a legit team. The issues Notre Dame is going to have is they're Clemson. They play Clemson. Their schedule is very difficult.
Ohio State's not losing that game, Mikey. Yeah.
Okay. They could.
I think they very well could. I really do, man. I think Notre Dame is the real deal this year.
Hype every year about Notre Dame.
But this quarterback is the X factor now. This quarterback is the real deal.
Notre Dame fans are legit diehards. And so there's always like a big narrative about this year. Notre Dame is going to be it. And I know they finished strong last year. They beat Clemson. They
finished very strong.
But I think that has helped build up like this conception that they're going to be legit. I'm not saying that they won't be good, but Ohio State has got to be a front runner to win everything.
Well, they are. But
they are a front runner to win everything. But this Sam Hartman, man, I'm telling you, the transfer that they got from Wake Forest, this kid, he changes everything for them because they could actually open an offense up and they could throw. And their running game, by the way, they're built in the trenches. Like they always are. They have an incredible running game like they always do. And now they finally have a real quarterback, not these guys like Ian Book and guys like that. Like this kid, Joe, I'm telling you, Joe, I am extremely concerned about that game.
Mikey, extremely, if you're building your 14 playoff right now, would you consider having them in there?
Yes. Yes. Wow. And I tell you why too. They're plus 500 to make the playoff. That's worth the sprinkle to me. Any day of the week, it's worth a sprinkle to me. You know, I'm going to be giving that out for our loyal listeners here for my Only Subs program. I was going to give that out as one of my futures this Friday. I really think Notre Dame has a shot to make the playoff. The thing with Notre Dame is that they have to play USC. They have to play Clemson. Like those are very difficult games. They have to run a gauntlet. USC, Ohio State, Clemson. Those are three top 10 teams they got to play. If Notre Dame could navigate the season and only lose one of those games, they are a shoo-in to make the playoff. If Notre Dame, let me repeat that, Notre Dame loses one game to either Ohio State, USC, or Clemson, beats two of the combination of the three, in any facet, doesn't drop two, they are a playoff team automatically. They have to be.
Because they're Notre Dame.
USC is going to be in there.
I'd like to think they would
USC's
be.
USC's schedule
the
is soft other than
the thing
Notre
about
Dame.
Notre Dame, man, is I agree with Joe, is every year they create a narrative around they're going to be back, they're going to be back, they're going to be back.
They do.
But
they do.
To Mikey's point, you know, he listens to much more than me, but I've been following a little bit. This seems to be a different year. This seems to be a different team, and it seems to be certainly on the right track. The only thing is, if you liked them before the season, that's fine, Mikey. But if you're basing some of it on the ass-whooping that they had on Navy, I love Navy. I love Air Force. I love Army. And they're always good for a couple big hits every single year. Those guys try hard. But they do stink. You can't –
I'm not, but here's the thing is I liked Notre Dame a lot before the season. You guys know that. You guys know I was saying, because I said multiple times I was concerned with Ohio State playing Notre Dame in Notre Dame that early in the season with the quarterback situation. They just named their starting quarterback at Ohio State, Kyle McCord, new offensive line. Going into Notre Dame at night, that crowd, that defense, I thought it would be difficult. I thought Notre Dame would be much improved this year. If Notre Dame had come out Saturday and they had like a 7-point lead at halftime or a 14-point lead at halftime, or they let Navy hang a little bit, or they let Navy score a couple. They obliterated Navy. You watch games in the past against Navy with Notre Dame. That hasn't been the case. Navy's hung around a lot of times with Notre Dame. They always are up for that game. So to me, it was kind of like an affirmation of what I had thought Notre Dame could be. And yes, it's way too early. It's way too early. But certainly I thought that they affirmed my preconceived beliefs of what they could be this season. Now, they're not there yet.
All right,
again,
so
their schedule's tough.
Where are the four teams you'd put in the playoff?
Do you want to give that away, or is it you saving that for Friday for your only subs? It's okay.
I'm gonna do it for Friday, but I'll say this. Alabama is in a weird spot. For the first time in 17 years, Nick Saban doesn't have a starting quarterback named yet. And that is not something you ever hear about with Alabama. They have three guys, Tyler Buckner, Jalen Milroe, and Ty Simpson. They have three guys that he could name the starter, and they haven't named them yet. And he said he's not going to name them until Saturday. That's not a typical Bama move. Bama's going to be really good if their quarterback, whoever he picks, can play. They're going to be excellent. I think they're going to play with a big chip on their shoulder this year. Whenever Saban's team, you know, doesn't make it to the big dance, it usually the next year, like Alabama don't miss the playoffs. Like they're in it every year. But here's the thing, Georgia's schedule, man. Georgia's schedule. Listen
Georgia's
to this fucking schedule.
So much better than anyone.
So the NCAA made them cancel the series against Oklahoma because Oklahoma is going to join the SEC next year. So they replaced Oklahoma with Ball State. They play UT Martin, UAB, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and Ole Miss at home. They play three SEC road games, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Their schedule is a fucking – Tennessee will be a tough game. Tennessee will be good because Joe Milton's got a fucking rifle, and Tennessee's a very difficult place to play at, Rocky Top. But – Georgia has a cupcake walk into the playoff. But again, you're going to see a quarterback that you haven't seen before because Stetson Bennett, who was like 87
he's
years
finally
old,
gone.
Is finally gone. Right. So now you have Now you have this kid, Carson Beck, and we'll see if Carson Beck can do the job.
Well, he looked pretty solid when he came in relief a couple times for Stetson Bennett. He looked solid.
I mean, you know, the backup at a school like that is not going to be some Joe Blow. It's going to be a five-star, four-star recruit from somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage of being
about
a program that big.
I think a team that's going to be interesting to watch closely is Texas.
And that's funny that you say that because that's one of my playoff teams. It is one of my playoff
teams.
This
Quinn Ewers, this guy's
Quinn
good,
Ewers.
Man.
Yeah.
They had Alabama.
He's supposed to be an Ohio State quarterback, but he's not.
Yeah. Well, I guess then he really wasn't supposed to be.
Yes, he went there and then he left. Unfortunately, he didn't want to hang around and compete, I guess. I don't know. But whatever, he went back home to Texas. They play Alabama early, Joe, like you were about to say, next Saturday night.
It's going to be interesting, man. I kind of want them to be good. Because, again, there's a big following for Texas, kind of like Notre Dame. And the last several years, they just have not been up to speed. I mean, they've been good, don't get me wrong. But I think this year they could be really good. And this, by the way, yours, the kind of guy that you want to root for, the mullet flowing. He seems like a guy's guy, like fun guy to watch. He slings the ball. Like
he's an Austin guy.
If he doesn't get hurt last year, it'd be interesting to see how they did.
I mean, if he gets hurt, you have the prodigy of all prodigies, Arch Manning, waiting in the wings. Yeah, let's not forget about that. I mean, he's one of the most hype recruits of all time. So he was labeled as the perfect quarterback prospect. So I don't know. I can't crystal ball that. Yeah, right. And well, Luck was until he decided he was done with football. But yeah, Texas, the only issue with Texas is going to be they'll beat Oklahoma, I would imagine, again this year. But Texas, they have to get past Bama. If they get past Bama, then they have a real good shot to make the playoff. And their odds are very good, too. It's a very favorable odds if you want to sprinkle a little bit on that. I want to say that's close to plus 500 as well for them to make the playoff. To navigate the Big 12, if they get past Alabama, it's not going to be a problem. And vice versa for Bama. If Bama slips up with them, that'll be the only loss they'll be allowed to have. So that's going to be that's why college football, and people always say, like, well, why do you like college so much? The fact that you're going to have a game next Saturday night that is going to have such major implications on the college football playoff, and it's only September, is why it's so fucking incredible. The atmosphere for that game is just going to be absolutely incredible. And that's why I love it so much. And then last but not least, Big Ten teams, Ohio State's up there, Penn State's up there, Michigan Wolverines, as much as I hate to say it, they're the best team. I mean, they have the best offensive line.
They're good.
They have the best offensive line, the best running back room. This quarterback has proven to me, I've watched him play Ohio State, he answers the call in the big game. And Harbaugh being suspended the first four games means nothing. You want to talk about a cupcake walk schedule? Michigan doesn't play anybody until the 10th week of the season. They don't play anybody of note, and they don't play Wisconsin. They don't play Their out-of-conference games are ridiculously soft. They don't play any hard out-of-conference games, and they dodge all the road game Big Ten.
When do they play Penn State, Mikey?
They play Penn State the end of the season. I want to say the week. So they play Maryland, Ohio State, Penn State, last 3 weeks of the season. Obviously, Ohio State is last. Penn State, I don't know if it's before Ohio State or before Maryland, but Maryland's going to be a tricky team. Yeah, Tua's brother who plays at Maryland is very good. Maryland's going to have a nice little team. That's why I said they don't play anybody until they get to Maryland. Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State will be tough, but Ohio State's schedule is miserable. Ohio State's got to play at Wisconsin. Ohio State's got to play at Michigan. Wisconsin's going to be a sleeper this year in the Big Ten. Ohio State's got to play Notre Dame at Notre Dame, and Ohio State's got to play Penn State. So Ohio State's schedule is very difficult.
And no C.J. Stroud.
No C.J. Stroud, no. Kyle McCord. You don't know what he's going to do. And that's why it could be a two-loss season in Columbus. It could be.
I tell you what, this Penn State team, they got some issues with quarterback. I don't know about Drew Allen. They haven't even named
him. Oh, no, he's a stud, Tick.
They haven't
he's
even named him the starter yet. Okay, well, I hope he's a stud because he's the rest of the team, team is great. I think Penn State could be disruptors this
Nick
year.
Nick Singleton, oh, they're going to be very disruptive.
They're going to be disruptive.
Aller's going to be the quarterback. He's one of those like prodigy prospects as well. He'll be the starter.
Well, Franklin hasn't named him yet, and, you know, the season's technically started. Yeah, but
Franklin's a bozo.
Whoa!
Great recruiter. Okay. Great recruiter. Horrible in-game manager.
It's the first quarterback Penn State's had in 15 years. Yeah. Good. A quarterback that can throw further with accuracy than 15 yards.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so we'll save some more of this playoff talk till next week when Mikey's revealed his futures. But I think he's given us some good stuff. Joe likes Texas. Mikey likes Notre Dame. Some sleepers there. Watch out for Alabama. Georgia's got a cakewalk, and Michigan does as well. So, and I like Penn State. So
Penn State's a legitimate, like, that's a good bet. Like, that's
it's just
not,
Michigan would be the only reason I wouldn't bet them to be in the playoff.
Yeah, a lot of hype around this Wisconsin team too, because they have a transfer quarterback as well. And this is what the portal's doing. It's letting these schools, allegedly you're going to see a Wisconsin like you've never seen before this year. They're not going to be a Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. Ron Dane, Melvin Gordon, load up the box and just pound, 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 pound. They're allegedly going to be spread out and fucking flinging the ball all over the field. And they got a good defense, and they may be a very, very Camp Randall at night, one of the most difficult venues to play in college football. Yeah. One of the most difficult.
Back so to their Russell Wilson days. This year.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
They haven't aired the ball out for a long time, man. They've been a run-first team for a long time.
Yeah. The longest I can remember. Allegedly, that's changing this year. We'll see. With that quarterback, it should. So we'll see.
There we go. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, a big one's on the move. Trey Lance is heading to Dallas. Didn't see it coming, boys. Didn't see it coming, at least on my end. Joe, I mean, what's the initial reaction to that?
I don't know, man. I can tell you what is going to happen. Dak Prescott's going to get hampered at some point in the season because it happens every fucking year. He's always hurt. He's going to miss a week or two. This kid's going to come out and he's going to put on a decent performance, and every single Cowboy fan from Skip Bayless to freaking Troy Aikman is going to proclaim this guy as the next savior of Dallas, because it's happened. Who was the guy? Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush, yeah.
Cooper Rush was being proclaimed as like the quarterback of the, and this guy, I mean, no offense to Cooper Rush. He came and did a great job, but this guy's not a stud quarterback that you're going to base your, you know, your franchise around. I'm telling you this right now, that at some point in the season, Trey Lance is going to get in at some point. Absolutely. This is just what happens with the Cowboys, man. And Jerry Jones creates this kind of, this narrative around the team where he's way too involved and he talks way too much because he's got a massive ego, and something's going to happen and they're going to talk Trey Lance. Either Prescott's going to have a bad start to the season or he's going to get hurt and they're going to consider putting this young kid in. And I actually, last year, Ticket and I had a bet, which I got pummeled on, between who would be better going into the season between Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence. And I was saying, looking at Trey Lance's team, I had a lot of faith that with the pieces around him, with guys like, and this was before McCaffrey, but guys like Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Kittle, that he just had pieces around him that would be, you know, complimentary for him to have a big season. He kind of got fucked. He got hurt. He didn't really have a chance to prove himself.
Hurt in the first game.
And, you know, I kind of would like to see him get an opportunity, but I mean, I think, you know, with young quarterbacks, it takes a lot of time, a lot of reps, and it takes almost like a season of losing before they're ready to go out week in, week out and perform and be a starting force in the NFL, because the defenses are just that good. So that's my take on it. I don't know. They gave it, what, a fourth round pick, I think they gave up for him?
A third or a fourth?
It was a fourth.
I think it was a fourth.
Was it a fourth?
It was a fourth round pick. So, I mean.
Okay. You know, I thought it was a third.
The value is there if he can develop, you know. I don't know. Dak Prescott had a couple really good seasons early on, but the NFL is like, what have you done for me lately kind of league, man. And I don't know. Dak Prescott has not shown that he's capable of winning the big game. So I don't know.
Mikey V?
All right. So, you know, the Trey Lance deal to initially bring him into San Francisco has to go down as one of the biggest. And this is the 49ers are so fortunate that they have such a good football team that John Lynch, who's a great guy. I've met him. He's a great guy. One of the nicest guys. Funny, fucking outgoing.
Great football player too.
Great football Hall of Famer. Great guy. As outgoing could be. He is so fortunate that he built the roster he built, because if he did not, and that team couldn't sustain the kind of success they did without Lance, he would be out the door yesterday with that trade that he made in the draft. 3 first round picks to go up and get a kid for that plays in an FCS school and bring him in when you choose him over a Justin Fields, you know, a Mac Jones. You could say what you want about Mac Jones, but whatever. For them to do that and completely whiff, and you could, yes, he got hurt, and that's very unfortunate. But if they thought he had the sauce, there's no way. Now this offseason, he was QB3 behind Darnold. They are just very fortunate that that team is built the way it's built. They're very fortunate because that whole front office would be gone. That's a franchise sinking mistake typically. But the team is just so well put together. They have the best middle linebacker in football, arguably. They have the best pass rusher in football, arguably. They have the best left tackle in football, not arguably. They have the best utility running back wide receiver hybrid combo, probably not arguably. They have the best, another guy, probably the second best in Deebo. They have another good wide receiver in Ayuk, and they probably have a top three tight end in Kittle. So the team is just incredibly well put together. They did a great job building it. The trade itself, I'm not surprised. Jerry Jones is looking to light a fire under Dak Prescott's ass. And that's why he didn't tell him. That's why he didn't tell McCarthy. He is sending a message loud and clear. Hey, we paid you a lot of money. You're the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. There's a level of expectations. We made it to the playoffs. You turn the ball over a lot. And when your teammates in the locker room say that you turn the ball, say it's hard to win games after that playoff game when you turn the ball over, that's throwing the quarterback under the bus a little bit. They didn't do it directly, but they kind of did it indirectly. Joe's 100% right. If Dak Prescott gets hurt for any extended period of time this year and Trey Lance comes in and he excels, and he very well may, there's a big difference between Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. What's the difference? Trey Lance was a number three overall pick in the NFL draft.
Trey Lance is a sexy name.
He was thought to be the highest ceiling, a highest ceiling quarterback maybe of that draft. People were talking about him like he may have had a higher ceiling than Trevor Lawrence. Some of the analysts were saying that. Okay. So there's a big difference. If Trey Lance comes in and does well, it's not the same as Mike White coming in and doing well, right, with Zach Wilson. It's a big, big difference because Trey Lance has the draft pedigree and the equity given up for him for San Francisco to prove it. So it's going to be a very, very awkward thing for Dak if he does get hurt, because if Trey comes in and he balls out, and that team is a good team, that Dallas team, they got a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
It's going to be really, really, really fascinating. And Dak is going to play. You think he's not going to, he will play short of tearing something. He's going to play through any and all injuries he sustains, because he knows who's at the door. He knows who's not.
We're going to find out if he's a pressure player, if he can stand in the heat and come out on top, man.
Because, by the way,
he's got to have a lot of pressure sitting on him right now,
forget
dude.
It. Forget
you
it.
Know, if you play scared, man, you're going to get hurt. So it'll be interesting to see the way he navigates the season.
That isn't an easy division either. He's got to play the Eagles twice. The Giants are a very well coached team with Daboll, and their offense is upgrading. And you know,
three of the worst pass rushes. The Commanders' pass rush is vicious. If Chase Young is back to old Chase Young this year with the guys they have up front, and forget about the Eagles, their pass rush and their D line is ferocious. This guy's going to get beat up this year pretty bad. He's going to take a lot of hits. I'm glad my quarterback's not in that division, because that's a black and blue division when it comes to defense. It really is.
And it usually always is. So we'll see. And you know what? To be honest, if injury is your issue and then you get Trey Lance in there, he's only given himself, you know, a name to be not very durable as well either. I butchered that sentence, but he's getting hurt already in the season too. So
yeah.
The Cowboys, and then who's after that? DiNucci? I mean, they just got to be careful
Ben
there.
DiNucci.
But if they could solve the quarterback problem, they have to. Yeah, if they can solve the quarterback problem, they've got a great team. The Cowboys have had a good team for the last few years, and their big X factor is their quarterback. So,
and what Joe said is right also. I think the Cowboys fans are – the consensus I've seen, because North Jersey, believe it or not, where I'm from, there's a ton of them. I always forget that you're not that far away. There is a large contingency of Cowboys fans, and they are just dying. They are dying for a reason to throw Dak Prescott under the bus. Dying for a reason to say, I told you so.
You can't blame them for wanting to
win. No, I can't. The Cowboys fans are a special breed, though.
They're obnoxious.
Because a lot of them that are in our age bracket were those front-running kids in the 90s when Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Leon Lett and all those guys were there. So that's kind of – and, you know, that's kind of like where they're at. But yeah, that they're dying for a reason to just jump Dak's ass. And that will be the reason. They really are, Tick. They really are. They want to throw this guy under the bus desperately.
Well, a big part of it is because of how long and dragged out that contract negotiation thing turned out to be. And I think they're, you know, and they wanted to see results a little bit quicker than they're seeing them. But yeah, man, he's got a lot of pressure on him, and it'll be exciting to see how he handles it. I believe what will happen is what Joe said. He will get hurt. Pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean,
he's either going to get hurt or he's going to play bad to start the season. And they're going to start the rumors. and the Skip Baylesses of the world are going to start talking. That's just what happens with this team.
Yeah, for his sake, I honestly never want to see anybody get injured, but my God, if he comes out and just stinks it up, which, I mean, I guess it could happen. I mean, anything could happen. I would really be surprised if he comes out and just bombs. I think the more likely scenario is he sustains some type of an injury, whether it be an ankle or something like that, just something that keeps him out, like where he can't play, like he physically just can't play for a couple weeks. And then that'll be Lance's window of opportunity. And we'll see if Lance could jump on it, because if Lance couldn't beat out Sam Darnold as the QB2 in San Francisco, and that's what they're telling you, or is it just because, you know, Lance is a lot more expensive to pay? You know, I don't know which one it is, but I'm sure it's a combination of both. And they just, you know, they figured they strike while the iron's hot, get the fourth round pick and move on. But it's just going to be fascinating. It'll be fascinating if Dak gets hurt. It really will. It'll be nuts. It'll be nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's one NFL roster change that's happened, but there's been plenty. Cut day was just yesterday, I believe. And all kinds of waves have been made and PUP lists and everything's been going on. And Mikey, have you been surprised by any of these cuts? I mean, one team cut one fucking quarterback and waived two other ones and leaving only one left. I mean, are you surprised by any of these moves?
I think the cut that had the biggest ripple effect across the league that people were literally like jaw dropped, shocked about was Bailey Zappe getting cut from New England. That seemed to
he
be
was
like
loved.
Because number one, yeah, I think he was beloved by the fans. Like he was one of those like typical backups. Like everybody loves the guy, wants to see him. But second, I thought he was a good quarterback. I thought he was great in college. I thought he could really sling the pill. And he was just so highly touted, I thought, and thought of, you know, as a quarterback from a smaller school coming in, that really did surprise me. And Twitter had like a meltdown over it yesterday, but he didn't even get picked up. Nobody even picked him up. So he's actually going to be on, he survived waivers. He didn't get claimed. He's going to be on New England's practice squad. So New England, maybe they knew something that nobody else knew. But I guess it affirms something too. Belichick cut Malik Cunningham and him. And people were talking about Belichick doesn't like Mac Jones and he's not going to start Mac Jones. And there could be a little riff. He might trade Mac Jones. I guess that's not the case. So, you know, that was a shocking one to me. And then, you know, you see some of these really good teams like the Bengals. They cut this guy who led the league in punt returns over 20 yards last year, slot receiver, who the Bears actually claimed today because they had number one waiver priority. Like good teams like that that just don't have room for guys who would be like pretty serviceable starters for other teams that aren't as deep as these really like Super Bowl contending teams. So that's when if you got decent waiver priority, it's a cool thing because – you know, when they picked him up, I know Bears have like a nightmare scenario, a punt returner before they pick this guy up. Like our guy who's supposed to be fielding punts fucking muffs every punt that gets kicked to him. It's a problem. He's a problem. That guy, Velus Jones Jr. is a problem. But in all seriousness, those kind of things are always surprising when, but not really. Those really good Super Bowl contending teams just don't have room for these guys that are like fringe starters in the league. They just, 53 guys is not a lot of guys. It's not. Especially you got a group like offensive linemen, you got to start five guys and not every position is going to have a backup. You know, some teams are only going to carry eight or carry nine. So it's not like every position has a backup. There's not a left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle. It's you got a guy who could play center and guard. You got a guy who could play swing tackle. So it's like, you know, it's interesting to see how they do that, how many quarterbacks you're going to carry and all that. So It's a wild, the cut day shit is crazy. The NFL's crazy with the cut day stuff. It's just crazy to see.
I was surprised and it happened earlier in the preseason or training camp. The Vikings letting go of Dalvin Cook to me was really surprising. And then obviously now with him signing with the Jets, I think that needs to be really monitored because I mean, the Jets look fucking good, man. The Jets look really, really good. They got three very serviceable running backs now. Rodgers looks great in preseason
through that connection with Garrett
Wilson. My goodness. And then another thing to look at, it hasn't happened yet, but I know something we were going to talk about. Jonathan Taylor, man, he's going to miss 4 weeks. And now there's rumors that he might get traded. And two of the teams that came up were the Packers and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know why the Packers would do that.
I don't know why the Packers would do that either, because they've got a good 1-2 running back committee with Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon. To me, it's surprising, but I think that is a really interesting
But apparently their price is through the roof and no one wants to deal
with it. I mean, they wanted Picks and Jalen Waddle from Miami. That's insane. And Miami, I mean, that's insane. Yeah. Miami's not going to deal Jalen Waddle to for Jonathan Taylor. I mean, positional value in this league, Jonathan Taylor's not a guy who catches the ball out of the backfield. This isn't 1998. You don't do that for a running back anymore that can't catch the ball. You just don't do it.
Could you imagine, though, if they got the right price and Miami did get Jonathan Taylor?
I mean, they have insane weapons. There's no question about that. Oh, my God. There's no question about that.
Yeah. A very tantalizing offense.
Yeah, he's starting the season on the PUP list, right?
On the PUP.
For 4 weeks.
So was Kyler Murray.
For 9 weeks.
Arizona's doing this intentionally, though, because Arizona's in a position where they very likely they'll have the top two picks in the draft. I mean, they could draft Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison, and they could be set on offense for a long time if they do it right. So I think Arizona's in a full tank.
But what do they do with that situation? He's going to be out for the first four games, and then they'll just play him and hope they continue losing.
I don't know what's going to happen with Kyler Murray. It's like a mystery to me. I don't know what's going to end up happening.
I thought it was 9 weeks.
That's only the first four.
I think ultimately Kyler Murray will not be an Arizona Cardinal by the end of the year. I think Kyler Murray will be on a different team. I don't know, and the price will probably be very low.
Well, they just want him out.
It's crazy, right, Joe?
It's unbelievable. This guy was a superstar, and for like a couple of years was like one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. And just like that, overnight, like too small, this and that, all these things that they say. Now all of a sudden the guy's on the chopping block, and his
best bet could be to go play baseball. The only other thing I could see happening is if Geno Smith really starts to suck it up, the Seahawks might be interested in getting him for cheap somewhere.
I don't know if they trade him in division, though. That would be pretty wild.
But he's such a nightmare. Like, that would almost be.
He is. And I just think that that's such a testament to how difficult it is to be a sustained success starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, you can't not read the playbook. You can't not spend every waking minute
playing video games,
like practicing this game and studying film and just the guys who don't do that. They never last. Kyler, I'd agree, Joe. I think he was budding into a superstar. I wouldn't say he was one of the premier guys in the league. He certainly was fantasy wise because he put up ridiculous, stupid numbers. But it seemed like every year they would start so hot, Arizona, and then they would fade away, and they would start hot and they would fade away. And, you know, that whole thing with Kingsbury was a disaster. And it's crazy how things turned around so quickly. They look like they were going to be an NFC contender for a long time. And I don't think he'll be a quarterback there by the end of the year.
It's hard to win in the NFL, man.
There was a period there where he was like consistently making just special, Aaron Rodgers level magic plays.
Yes.
And it was a whole lot of fun to watch. It looked like it was going to be happening for a long, long time, like Mikey V just said. But, man, it collapsed quicker than a house made of sticks, man.
It's a cruel, cruel business. It's a cruel, cruel game. It could change overnight. It's so sick. It really is. It's sick. Sick.
I mean, just a couple of years ago, everyone was talking about how great the Colts were, too. I mean, they were one quarterback away from being the team in the AFC. And they've completely shat on themselves too, as Jim Mersey and Bill Polian usually do. So we were going to move on to Jonathan Taylor, but we sort of already touched on that. And we started so long on the caddies. I say we just move to who's a problem. You boys okay with that?
Yeah, I'm happy to lead us off too.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous that one of us are going to have the same thing. But Joe, start us off.
I'm telling you who's a problem this week is Zach fucking Johnson. This guy,
yeah, he is.
This guy, man, I cannot believe. So, Mikey V, if you're not aware, he is the captain for the U.S. Men's Ryder Cup team.
Yes, 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 yes. I know who he selected is very controversial. Yes, yes, yes.
It is beyond controversial. And, you know, it hits close to home because one of the guys is a dear friend of the pod. Dear friend of ours, Keegan Bradley won two tournaments this year. Finished top 10 in multiple tournaments and finished top 10 in the FedEx Cup standings. For this young man to be omitted, well, maybe not so much young man, but for him to be omitted from this roster is nothing short of a biased schoolboy fucking popularity contest pick.
Well, that's what I heard this really is, though.
Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
I don't care what he's done in the past, who he's beaten, how much grandeur that surrounds him. He had an abysmal season. He by far his worst golf season, missing multiple cuts, was not the Justin Thomas that we've known in the past. For him to get picked and be picked solely on the premise of, oh, he's good on one-on-one matchups, this is his forte. Let me tell you what. A, it's not fair to Justin Thomas, because now this young man has the pressure of all the golfing community on his shoulders to go out there and to ball out. And if he doesn't, he's going to face tons of scrutiny for being there. And that's not his fault. It's the fault of the person who picked him to go there. And that's just not right, man. We should be assembling a team that is comprised of the best golfers at that time. Lucas Glover, whether you like him or not, whether you say he had sweaty ass in the two tournaments he won, whether you think
he did.
Whatever you want to say, he won back-to-back tournaments and balled out towards the latter part of the season. He wasn't even considered. Keegan Bradley, I just mentioned him, wasn't even considered. Sam Burns, and we love Sam Burns. He's another great guy and somebody hopefully we'll work with. And I know he won the one-on-one matchup tournament. I forget what the tournament's called. I know he won that. Good for him. But come on, man. It's so frustrating. And I'm telling you something right now. Team Europe is going to wax that ass. They are going to absolutely annihilate Team USA.
That's insane, man. Isn't that insane?
They have Rory McIlroy, Victor,
Hovland,
Victor Hovland is the hottest golfer.
Hovland's becoming a killer. He's a killer.
John Rahm. Killer, I mean, come on, man.
Rahm, obviously. Don't sell Scotty and Brooks short.
Scotty's not playing. I mean, we're going to get rocked. Playing. I'm saying he's not playing rocked. His best right now either, but I think we're going to get rocked, dog. We're going to get fucking.
I think there's only one man who you could really call
stupid process.
This guy's, are you going to say Brooks Koepka?
100%.
This guy's
man just had a baby. He's now in dad mode. This guy, watch out.
He's on the team.
I know he's on the team. And he just became a dad. And I tell you what, you don't fuck with a new father. You just don't do it.
But the thing with USA. The thing with JT as well is not just that he's a great one-on-one guy. It's also he's in the last four, five, 6 years has emerged as the raw. But he's emerged as the rah-rah American screaming.
Fuck, dude.
I'm just saying that is people like that. It's a popularity contest. That's part of the reason why he was picked. He's so American. It's America versus the rest of the world.
Imagine you're in school. You put up great grades all year. You do all the stuff that's required for you to get picked for a scholarship, and you get omitted for a guy that couldn't even turn in his fucking homework. It's a joke. And you know what? It sets a bad precedent for the rest of these guys moving forward. That like, hey, your performance does not dictate the fact that you are going to be selected or not. If you do not qualify for the Ryder Cup, it's a crapshoot and it's a popularity contest. Because say what you will, Justin Thomas is a young guy. He fits in. He's best friends with Spieth and Ricky Fowler, who are on the team. He's in that mix. And you know what? Keegan Bradley maybe not be the sexy pick, but he's the right one. And you know what, Keegan? I'm sorry you got omitted. It's a fucking sham. And it's unfortunate. And you know what? We have you in our hearts and we love you and you should be there. And by the way, he handled it with absolute class. I don't know if you saw
it. I saw the post.
Could not have been classier the way that he handled it and saying that he's still supporting Team Europe. I love that guy, man. And he deserves to be there. And that's all I got to say about that.
Unfortunately, what Joe just subscribed is that's most of life, unfortunately. That's just the way shit goes. Often it's not based on merit. It's based on popularity.
Maybe it was a shitty caddy who was picking the fucking team. Maybe that was the case.
Might have been. All right, Mikey V, you usually give a good one. So I'll go next and I'll let you finish this up. I'll try to gather my words. I've been stumbling over them all fucking day. But I'll tell you who's a problem, gentlemen. Is the Tui family. Okay. For those who don't remember, Sean and Leanne Tui, the adopted parents of Michael Orr,
Pick. I got to disagree with you.
This fan. Oh, okay. Let me just go on here.
Go.
The Tui family has emerged themselves. They've emerged to be frauds. These people have concocted, from what I've read, Mikey, it's been what I've been fed.
Is this new?
But it's what I've been
read. Is this new information?
It came out like a week ago.
Well, I know the story, obviously. There's claiming that
Michael Orr is filing them. He's suing them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the story is, and what I've read, or what maybe it's what I've been fed, is that he's saying the whole thing was a fucking sham, and that they used him to make money on him. And it's just the whole story of The Blind Side, one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. I thought it was a great tearjerker. It was a great story. It was a great American story. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with the characters and the family. And what a wonderful way it ended up for everybody. And these guys are just nothing but hucksters. They're just looking for a cash grab. There was a cash grab. It was a cash grab is all that was. Now, Mikey V, I want to hear your side of the story here. You gonna side with the white man here?
I kind
of
know what he's gonna say.
No, this isn't about picking sides. I'm gonna tell you what this is.
Okay.
So, number one, my first question for Michael Orr would be like, number one, why are we waiting up until came out? How long ago did that movie come out? Okay, let's say it did happen. I have it on very good authority from a very reliable source that Michael Orr is attempting to extort the Tui family for $15 million approximately. And that extortion or similar request was captured in a family group text message that the Tuis are going to release soon, from what I understand.
What was captured?
Or telling them in a text message, like, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to sue you for this.
That's very concerning.
I'd like to see, here's what I'd like to say. I'd like to see the entire situation play out and go to the next level before I could pick either side. Because if what they did, so the issue at hand was, I think that Orr was saying, was basically like, he thought he was getting adopted, but it was a whatchamacallit. It wasn't an adoption. It was a oh my God. What the fuck is the other word for it? It's not they couldn't adopt him because he was over the age of 18. Or whatever it was, they couldn't adopt him because he was over the age of 18. And for any of the things that he was going to college for, if they had adopted him,
Britney Spears had with her dad.
The consortment
or something like that, where they basically had control over your business moves.
Right. So they did this, right? Now, from what I understand, like I at the time when they did this, they could not adopt him because of several reasons and implications of when he was going to college, what it would have cost to send him to college and all of that. But it apparently a lot of that changed if they did the consortium, whatever it's called. I it's going to drive me nuts. Somebody fucking Google it. It's going to drive me crazy. I don't want to say the wrong word, but so what I understand is that
conservatorship.
That's exactly right. And from my understanding is that it seemed to me the whole time of the story and all the real footage you saw and all the things you had heard that it was not like that, the way Orr is describing it. And then from my understanding is when he went to the NFL, he was dating and is dating or is married to and is still with a woman who has spent a lot of his money, money flushed down the toilet by a woman that he's with.
You hear that?
That's from my source as well.
Okay. I can't read this.
Alex Brown.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, it's not.
Yeah. No, so anyway.
But that Barstool interviewed one of the Tui family and they said that they were going to release that text message. Also, that was reaffirmed through an interview Barstool did with someone from the Tui family, a cousin or something. It says they have a text message proof group message with Orr saying, if you don't do this, I'm going to extort you or sue you for $15 million, threatening them basically, like blackmail. Now, again, I want to wait and see, let it play out. Let's see what happens. And you know what? If it turns out that that's not true, then I'm all about your buy ticket. I'm all about your problem tonight. I'm about it. Well, but if Mikey not, V's... then I'd say Michael Orr is a problem.
That's true. One of there them. Is a, more one of them. Is
one
a
of them
problem.
Is certainly a problem. One of them is certainly a problem.
You know what is all is definitely a problem is conservatorships. That rarely yeah. goes well yeah. for yeah, anybody. It never goes involved. Well.
And Britney Spears is just a train wreck, man.
Oh
yeah, and she got fucked for a long time from it. Though.
She did, oh. but I mean, like, she needs to be mentally evaluated. Totally.
You ever follow her Instagram? It's a
well, my wife does. My wife does because my wife loved old Britney. Obviously, she grew up a Britney fan, and I mean, she follows her. And I always say, like, she's like, will you look at this? Like, just look at what she's doing. And I'm like, oh my
God. Dude, she's like dancing in her house and her eyes are
in her underwear
obliterated
and her hair's all over the place. It's crazy.
Oh my God.
It's really creepy.
It's tough to watch.
It's a real tough watch. It's a real tough watch. It's a train wreck. Yeah, you got to watch.
All right, Mikey, who's your problem?
My problem is this Roy Johnson. Roy Johnson, I don't know if you guys have watched it, but BS High on HBO Max. If you haven't watched it, the documentary about Bishop Sycamore, the high school that played IMG, the high school that played IMG Academy on ESPN and the high school kickoff game at Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame game 2 years ago. This guy, man, I have seen some sociopaths in my day. I've run into a lot of people with emotionally disturbed disorders, mental disorders. This guy is one of the scariest guys I've ever seen interviewed because he truly believes every single lie he's telling. He's admittedly a liar, which, okay, you're saying you lie. That's okay. That's one thing. But then he just the way he talked throughout that whole documentary and the look in his eyes and his head tilts and his smiles, he looks like the fucking Joker.
Explain to Joe what the Bishop Sycamore thing is.
All right. So Bishop Sycamore is basically this guy had the idea that he was going to create a prep school in the state of Ohio that he wanted to basically be like the IMG Academy. Like he wanted to make it a prep school. Where he would bring kids in for an extra year of high school that were eligible for an extra year of high school to prep them, obviously, to go to college. Kids that were underprivileged, maybe not the smartest kids in the classroom didn't have the grades to get into college. Yeah, it sounds nice. Problem is, the guy had no fucking money. He's a fucking con man. That's the problem. So he's been sued over 30 times, and this was, you know, before the whole fallout with Bishop Sycamore. He had no affiliation with any church. Like the church that he claimed he was affiliated with sent like a letter saying like, no, there's no affiliation. He had like 21-year-old kids who like had played at a JUCO college for like a year, come and play on his team, which is illegal. Well, not illegal, but against high school, athletic regulations in the state of Ohio. He took out PPP loans during COVID under the kids' names, made them sign paperwork. Like they thought they were signing paperwork for the team with their social security numbers. He ruined some of these kids' lives were like they quit football because the one kid, the quarterback, got a call from Grambling State that he was going to go play for Hugh Jackson at Grambling State. And then they found out that he was the quarterback from this Bishop Sycamore team and they pulled his scholarship off. And like just ruined the kid's life. And like these other kids, like they ruined their lives. And the one kid like tore his ACL against IMG Academy. IMG Academy beat them like 60-0. It was like watching like an NFL team play a high school team and they had no business being on.
They were
the field.
Awesome. They were awesome.
IMG's the best team in the country usually ever. Well, top five team in the country every year. But he is. Joe, just what it's called BS High. BS High.
It's on Netflix.
It's on HBO Max or Max. Have that. Yeah. Watch it. It's an hour and a half. It's better than Swamp Kings. It's better than the Manziel doc, which I thought both were majorly disappointing. The more I think about it and the more I compare it to this one.
Bob loves Swamp Kings.
This one. Yeah, Swamp Kings to me was just like it was a fluff piece. Like it
I
was
thought
just
so too.
It was just Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow and going over the glory days of Florida, and they broke down every game. I didn't think they talked nearly enough about Cam Newton, about the Pouncey brothers. Aaron Hernandez was mentioned for 1 second and not mentioned ever again. How could you possibly do that?
The national championship team with Tim Tebow had something like 61 members of that team had been arrested. and had like had really bad track record. Urban Meyer,
there was so much going on, man.
He just nurtured an environment full of just bad guys and poor behavior.
Yeah,
and they just gave him such a great edit. I mean, it was almost like Urban Meyer made that fucking documentary.
It was I mean, and listen, maybe that's the only way Netflix was going to get him to agree to be on it. And without him, like, it would have been a hard sell, I guess, maybe. But yeah, it was disappointing, because all it was to me was just a recap of every season from 2016 or 17 or 2006 to 2009. That's what it was to me. It was just a recap of those years when Tebow was there. And Chris Leak. And not to say that the locker room footage and all the footage that they had was fantastic. It was great. But it really was like, I was expecting some real juicy stuff that you didn't know, or some other types of interviews, but they really didn't do that. But yeah, this one, BS High, blows them both out of the water. It's fucking, it is in. Joe, awesome. You're going to watch this and your jaw is going to drop halfway through with the shit that this guy did. But the fact that he's being interviewed and he believes, like, he has no remorse, none whatsoever, none whatsoever. He owes $300,000 to... I don't know if it's parents of the team or the state of Ohio, but he's in the hole for $300,000 after the whole fallout with this. And he's just a sociopath. I mean, he calls the kids, he's watching his players on an iPad during the interview on the documentary, crying their eyes out, saying how he ruined their lives. And he just calls them all liars and storms off. Fucking crazy. It's crazy. Just watch it. It's definitely worth your time.
Yeah, it's a good one.
He's a problem, Roy Johnson.
He's a problem. Not as much of a problem as Michael Orr, but he's a problem.
Michael Orr, I'm not saying he's a problem. I'm just saying we have to find out who the problem is. He could be the problem.
He could be the problem. All right, guys, let's move on to viewer questions. We got a lot here. We'll do a few. We won't do them all because Joe's sick. I'm trying to get over sick, and been on here for quite a bit now. We'll do the first one here. It's coming from Johnny Lynch. Any fantasy football punishment ideas? Joseph. Let's go to Mikey V. Joey D's struggling.
Yeah, here's the punishment. Sit in the room with Joey D right now for 20 minutes if you lose your fantasy and just breathe in his air.
I do that to my worst enemy.
No, I've seen some ones. I tell you what, I got a cameo request the other day for one, to do the draft order, but they told me what the punishment was, and it was fucking wild, bro. I mean, if this is real... And I have no reason to believe it's not. The loser of this particular league, and I forget what the league name was, and I wouldn't probably blow them up anyway if I remembered. I wouldn't want to blow up their spot because, God forbid, the loser of that league or the worst record has to get an L tattooed onto their left ass cheek.
Mm. Oh, man.
Which is like, that's a permanent alteration of the body. That's pretty wild.
One that we have for my league. So there's two options. The first option is you either buy dinner for the entire fantasy draft for the next year.
That is tough.
Or alternatively, you have to set up a lemonade stand for the day.
That's a good one.
In a busy rural area.
That's a good one.
You have to sell lemonade and then donate whatever you make towards the league fees at the end of the day.
That's good. Yeah, I've heard of a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of tattooing out there. I've heard of some leagues doing brandings.
That's absurd.
I've seen it. What we do in my league, where we've done numerous years, is we'll have a guy, the loser's got to sign up for a 5K, but he's got to dress up like an address, and he's got to run the whole fucking thing in a dress. It's pretty classic.
We had one year in my league, we had a guy, he had a dress up. It was Luna Lou, actually, Joe. He was the worst record. He had a dress up, and I won the championship that year. So the stipulation was the guy with the worst record has to dress up in a French maid outfit and serve winner drinks and food at the next draft, the entire draft.
Do whatever.
Like, be their
one.
Personal servant butler the whole time. That's amazing. Was such a good sport about it.
He's a baller, man. He does what he needs to do.
Yeah, well, he would have got it. He couldn't back out on it. He would have got
it. Your French group, they would have killed him.
Oh, forget it. Dickie Gas will hold you to a fucking bet till the day that you're.
Well, speaking of which, Dickie Gas, didn't he come last place in our fantasy league? I don't know what the punishment for that
is. Did he come in last? I thought Perez did.
But that should be brought up during the live
Perez had a good finish to the season, I think.
Joe, and
I
if think... you start that live YouTube draft and the first thing out of your mouth before we even get started is going at Dickie for finishing last, you will set him off on a tangent. You will throw him so far off of his game. So.
Well, I got to make sure it's correct, but I think it is. I think you should double check.
You should say it regardless, to be honest. I kind of want to see what happens.
That is a horrible idea. If it's wrong,
he would come at me with the fear of a thousand men. It would be bad.
This guy acts in our group chat, Dickie Gass, like he's won the season 10 times in a row.
He acts like he's Elvis Presley.
He acts like
blue suede shoes, Elvis Presley. I kind of have to say that, like, because of him, he made that league so much more enjoyable or frustrating if you were on his attacks. But to watch
as
him
a commissioner,
go on his
it was a nightmare trying to keep that guy.
He's all over you. Like, why do you think I stopped being a commissioner? I literally gave up my league because I had too many guys like Dickie breaking balls. Yeah. So now I'm only in two leagues. I'm in Brilliantly Dumb, and I'm in my other league, the Sunday Dynasty. But my co-owner, I have a co-owner, and my co-owner is Dickie Gass in this other league. So it's me and Dickie.
Would you say he's your best friend? I feel like you hang out with him a lot.
I love Dickie. Yeah, I love Dickie. I mean, best friend. I have such Bruno a close group of friends.
Up there.
Yeah, I mean, I have Mike Coogs is like Mike Coogs, and you met him. You met him as well, and his brother.
I like Mike Coogs. He listens to the Sportsman.
Yeah, Mike Coogs is a great
guy. Coogs is a great guy.
Oh no, Anthony. His brother listens to the Sportsman. Anthony. Anthony's great.
That's the guy who goes to the bathroom every 5 minutes.
That's the bathroom guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the bathroom guy.
Great guy though. Great guy.
He's a very good guy. Very, very good guy. Small bladder I've ever seen in my life. But great guy.
Yeah, some bladder issues.
All right. Next question comes from Jack Lynch. This guy's a pitcher in the Cardinals organization, friend of the show. There you go. That was in parentheses.
Hey, listen, Jack, we're answering this question. How about throwing us some Cardinals tickets? We'll take them.
Jesus, Mikey. Come on, man.
What? You know what, man?
You want to support him?
Yeah. I'm going for Jack. I'm not going for me. Tickets. I got no desire to go to a fucking Cardinals
support
game.
I want
to support Jack.
St. Louis to watch a fucking game?
You never know. We may be there for something. I don't know.
Send a jacket, though. Definitely send a jacket. He wants to know, what's your lock for college football week one? Give him a lock. Give him something, Mikey V. Give him something. You want those tickets? Give him a lock.
Florida State.
I got one. I love Florida State this year.
Florida State. I love
the quarterback. He's tremendous.
+2.5 Florida State this week. Book
That's
it.
Joey's play. Yeah, I just got to get the exact line because I want to see it. Give me the – I hate to do this because, you know, obviously I'm going to put this pick out, but give me the Tennessee Volunteers -14.5 first half at home against Virginia on Saturday. They should win that game by like 35 points. So Tennessee first half against Virginia.
Yep. Very nice.
Yeah. I love that play.
There you got a lock.
I said Florida State. We got to end this fucking pod, man. We got to end it.
All right. I'll give you Penn State versus West Virginia. They're going to crush them. Whatever the spread is, I think it's something like 14.5 or something like that.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that, Tick. No?
Fucking just throw $1 billion on the money line then. Just fucking
dollars.
They're going to crush them. They're going to crush them. All right, Joe.
Dollars.
Want to end it up now?
20.5 Tick.
You want to do one more? Or you want to end it up?
I'm done.
Done? You're absolutely done.
You guys
done.
Can keep going. I can barely breathe.
No, it's okay. We'll wrap it up. We did a good amount.
We're in 20 minutes almost.
Do one more. Go ahead. One more.
We'll do one more. Joe, you don't have to say one a word. More. Just stay there and look
go.
Pretty,
there
man.
You go, Joe.
Oh, man.
I love you, Joe.
Last question comes from Blake Shamble. How is the shaved head doing, Mikey?
I mean, it is what it is. Great head. Look at that shine on that.
You look Mr. Clean, dude.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. You're embracing it, so you like it, huh?
Oh, I like it, yeah.
It's got a lot of compliments on it. Oh,
a lot of compliments on it.
Joe's got an asset for you here.
A what?
Let me see if I can find this.
He's got a graphic for you.
Oh, boy. Let me see. Is it Mr. Clean, Joe?
It is.
Okay.
Right. I'm trying to find it now.
Mr. Clean's a good looking guy.
He is.
He's fit. He's
jacked.
Fit. Yeah. He Very is. Fit.
Yeah, he is. You got to be. You're cleaning all those floors every day.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves a white shirt. Just
loves a white
loves
shirt.
Loves a nice Hanes white shirt.
Tucked into the khakis.
I can't find it. God damn it.
How can you not find Mr. Clean, Joe?
No, he made a great side by side.
Oh, he did. Okay.
In the airport the other day or somewhere.
Wow, Joe, you don't send it to me? Why couldn't I be privy to it?
I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
That was just for us.
You didn't see me in 2 weeks. You just send a text message. That's all.
It's actually Mr. Clean is a good looking guy. Where the fuck is this?
He's got a nice tan to him. All right. Well, while Joe keeps looking at that, we'll do one more.
I'll try to send it to Mr. Anderson.
Ahead, yeah, we'll send it to him. The last one here is Mike Strenner. 100K straight up or 10 million for you to pass 100 yards in an NFL game?
100K straight up. Nobody in this Zoom call is throwing for 100 yards in an NFL game unless, no, because it's not even like you could throw one in like to Tyreek Hill and he breaks it for 60 yards. You still got to get another 40 yards.
Give me two dump offs to Tyreek Hill, just a little lateral.
But they're gonna fucking be waiting for that because they're gonna know that you can't throw the ball anywhere else, Dick. So it's like, give me the 100K, bro. No, fuck that.
Yeah, I'm taking the 100K.
I got to ask you this because I saw it and I put up polls on it. This post that this big account that covers football was like, this guy is offering $15,000. For you to not watch a single snap of the NFL season this year. And I was like, 15,000. I was like, I'm sorry. And I'm not a wealthy person, but 15,000 ain't going to do it for me, bro. I'm talking, I put four options up there. I said 10 in between 10 to 20 K, 50 to 100 K, 250 to 500 K or over $1 million to not watch a single snap of NFL football this season. How much?
I think 100K, I wouldn't watch any games.
I think 100K as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, Joe.
$100,000 to go one season without football? It's
you
tough.
You say it like that, Joe, but you would be fucking dying on Sundays.
I would be dying.
You'd literally be dying. You'd be dying. You'd be over that 100K very quick. I'm going to tell you that. You'd be desperate. And then the playoffs roll around and you're not allowed to watch that. No Super Bowl. What are you doing
That's
on the
tough.
Super Bowl? Going to sit home?
Tough.
It's a good season not to watch the Packers, though.
Wow. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why? He thinks Jordan Love's the second coming. I'm getting fucking memes from him of Jordan Love walking.
I got
to
find
a
footage
bear.
Of him 2 years ago just bashing this guy. I mean, you lit him on fire, dog.
He's the next big thing.
All right, that's a great way to wrap it up. We'll send the fucking Mr. Clean picture to Mr. A. He will throw it up there. We actually have a question on here who wants to know who Mr. A is. He's our producer. We'll get into that more next time. We'll give you a full bio of who Mr. A is, but he's a great guy. He does the whole everything you see is all him. Gentlemen, that was another good one. Guys, make sure you like, comment, subscribe to the YouTube, comment and on the podcast or on the Instagram and like that. Fire your questions in there so you can get them on the show at the end of each episode. Jack Lynch, get us those Cardinals tickets. Mikey V's dying to go to St. Louis. Yeah. Gentlemen, that's another episode of The Sportsman. Mikey V, Joey D, I'm the Big Ticket. Till next week, folks.